Well, here we are again. It is another week of a crazy NFL season for our beloved Philadelphia Eagles. So before we get into the game, you know what we do when an Eagles victory happens? We gotta let the music play. That is the song. I tell you what, on Sunday, after the Eagles got an amazing victory, if you didn't see the game, Eagles fans, what rock are you living under? We know that you know the score. 17-16, the Eagles beat the Colts on Sunday in Indy. Yours truly was at the game with his son, and at the end of the game, as insane as it was, I actually was walking around asking fellow Eagle fans who were everywhere. You know how we love to travel well. Did that really happen? Right. Did that really happen? I must have said it 5-6 times to people there in the stadium. I was like, every Eagle fan I passed, because we're all just smiling, just like, what? You know, what the hell?
Right.
I was in shock, and it was funny that I wish I would have got it recorded, because it didn't occur to me. Everybody's just kind of wandering around in a daze. And my son, who is a Dolphins fan, I've got to stress that, he is a Dolphins fan, he starts leading starts the Fly Eagles Fly song, the fight song. And he says the first two Fly Eagles, and the next thing you know, the entire concourse in Indianapolis is singing Fly Eagles Fly at the top of our lungs. Everybody stopped. All the Eagles fans just stopped in the concourse and all just started singing it at the top of our lungs, and the E-A-G-L-E-S Eagles that came at the end was just mind-blowing. There hasn't been a beautiful sound like that in the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. There hasn't been anything that sounded that gorgeous and that delicious, but it did, and it was crazy. It was a crazy, crazy Sunday. Man, so you saw the game. What's going through your head at the whole day? What's Dubby doing?
Previewed the game. We looked at their strengths, and we knew this team was nothing to sleep on, period. You know, it didn't matter how many coaching changes they made this year. We knew that this team had, you know, the best running back, you know, at least coming in from last year. So I'm glad it worked out. But it was a stressful one all day long. It's from the start to the finish of the game. There was just no breaks in what the Eagles could do better and the adjustments we needed to make, man. Wish I was at the game. That'd have been dope too. Yeah, man. It was still good to see them jump to 9-1. And yeah, man, it was still ended up being a beautiful Sunday. Beautiful Sunday.
Yeah. After coming off of the Washington loss, I was very hopeful that they were going to have this bounce back game. But when we looked and did the preview, when we looked at it, I saw that the Colts' defensive rankings and how high they were and how good they were against the pass, and it worried me when I started seeing. Now, their offense has struggled, but they've stayed, and then you start looking at who they've played, and all their wins are like last second victories. It was concerning, I have to admit. So when the game started and they came right down the field, I mean, the first drive for them, you had to admit, as an Eagles fan, you were concerned. You had to be concerned, because we went out and got Ndamukong Suh and we got Linval Joseph, and they started. They were in there. Well, you know, they didn't start, but they were brought right in. I mean, they didn't waste any time getting those guys in the game. And, you know, they had the pass to Pittman that went for 24 yards right on Slay, and then they actually, yeah, no, I think they picked on Josiah Scott on that one, but they were playing a man coverage, and it was just a little slant pass, and then you get the play to Jonathan Taylor, the 28-yard run. It was just a total gash, and he has 43 yards on that opening drive. And it was like the first thing I could think of as soon as the it went in was, here we go again. It's going to be Washington all over again. We're in trouble. And so I don't know. How did you feel after that first drive? Did you think that it was going to be Washington all over again?
Well, you know, I don't. You know, I'm a sucker for scripted plays. So anytime a team comes out in their first drive, I actually expect them to do well for the most part, because if you watch enough tape, you should be able to formulate something that's at least well drilled. It may not be the best plays, but sometimes a well drilled play can still get you yards. They ran the ball with Taylor seven times out of those 10 plays. So it was that part had me reminiscent of Washington, because I'm like, oh man, here we go. It just looked helpless again. But then even towards the end, a little bit of that drive, you started seeing the Eagles kind of tighten up a little bit, but it was kind of like, felt like it was a little bit too late. And then, you know, Taylor scores on that first touchdown, and I go, oh man. You know, if anything, it reminded me of last week, the last few weeks, really. Of just giving up the run. Really, the Steelers, they didn't run all over us, but they still had a solid day. Steelers, Texans, Washington. So we going on game number 4 straight where teams are just able to really just run the ball on us. And yeah, that's kind of how it looked for us, man. So that first drive, but it also, I was like, here we go again, in a sense of like, man, last year we were starting down 7-0 a lot. A lot of drives, we would start 7-0. So that was more so reminiscent of Gannon as well, too. Like, oh, man, are we giving up 7 points off the rip again? Because Indy hadn't scored an opening drive touchdown all year. But yet, here go the Eagles. And boom, you know, they finally get one on us. So I was. And then when we come out, go 4 plays and a punt. Even though, you know, Smith, it was a tough catch, but Smith could have caught that 3rd and 12 catch. It was tight. I'm not saying that he should have, but it hit him in his hands and all through his body. I was like, man, that would have been nice to make that tough catch there. And then that's when I started getting worried, because I'm like, oh man, they just ran down our throats, and then now we just give the ball back really quick. Oh boy, here we go. But then the defense started stepping up, man. So yeah, how did you feel midway through the first quarter there?
Well, you know, like I said, I was at the game. Just to share that little picture there from outside of Lucas Oil. There's where our seats where we were at, and I was really happy. And I tell you what, Eagles fans everywhere, and we were in a section. It was great because we were in a section of almost entirely is Daniel McCain coming in. Cowboys can't wait for Christmas Eve. We can't wait either. We can't wait because we're tired of you guys making excuses that, oh, we just beat Cooper Rush. So if Cowboys fans can't wait for us, we can't wait for y'all either, because now we want to beat Dak too. So, you know, they had a great game against the Vikings, the Cowboys did. And we handled the Vikings too. Now, we didn't blow them out as bad as the Cowboys did yesterday. But the Vikings, they're not a bad team. I think they just have issues on defense that they got to clean up. I mean, that was just, I watched some of that game, and it was just, it was unwatchable if you were a Vikings fan. It was atrocious. So, yeah, Dan, you know, he's a longtime friend. I mean, he goes back. I mean, I've known Daniel McCain since the early 90s, dude. That's a good friend. So, yeah, we always go back and forth on the Eagles-Cowboys, but we do in a good-natured way. But, yeah, what was so funny was at the game, they had so many people there that were, you know, Eagles fans, and were sitting in a section that is almost entirely Eagles fans. And I heard a couple of Colts fans, a husband and wife, come and sit down. And I could hear her behind us going, how do we get in the Eagles section? Is this the Eagles section? And we were like, no, it's not the Eagles section. It just worked out that way. And it was later on in the game when they scored their first touchdown, and everybody in the Colts areas were cheering. They felt like uncomfortable to cheer. You could hear the wife go, I want to be sitting over there where I'm not afraid to cheer. But yeah, I was upset after the touchdown. I was like, look, let's just see what the Eagles do on offense. You know, the thing was, is the first half of that game, and even the third quarter, the first 3 quarters, and exactly right, Daniel McCain says, good to see the East back on top and the battles are back. Everybody in the NFC East above 500. Yeah, so no longer the NFC least anymore. That's for dang sure. But except for Giants losing to Detroit. But again, we've talked about Detroit. Don't sleep on the Lions. They've almost beat the Cowboys. They came from behind on the Eagles. So, and now they've won three straight. So, but back to the Indy game, it was one of those things, like, say, after the touchdown, I'm like, all right, let's see what the Eagles can do. Because in the Washington game, you know, we had all those issues with the turnovers, and our offense was moving the ball, and it was no different in the Indy game. And this one, I hate going to the officials thing, but this officiating crew was, you had to know what they were calling, and they did call it on both sides. So I will say that a lot of holding calls on both sides of the ball. And I watched the game back today because I can't see him as well from the stands. And even on both sides, they were really ticky-tack holding calls, man. They were like, if you just barely grab somebody, like the one on Lane Johnson was like, he grabbed the guy for a second, and the guy sold it a little bit, and it was boom, flag. And it was like, mm-hmm. The one on Calcaterra that they called, which I think they called offensive pass interference, or actually that was on Jackson, that was a horrible call, man. Tyree Jackson, yeah. He didn't even make good enough contact. He tripped over the guy. That was not a pick, in my opinion. But it was like the first two Eagles drives, you had the holding call on Calcaterra, the tight end, which I thought was dubious. And then the second drive for the Eagles was that just they moved the ball down to the 35. Like, quick, boom, here we go. And then it was flag after flag after flag. And they were, I watched it today, they were not legit flags. And it was funny because I saw this. They showed this on the broadcast where they saw Nick Sirianni after like the third flag from the same official say the words, "I hate this." And he used an expletive between this and guy that you can't say on TV. And yeah, he was not happy with the officiating in that first half. Luckily, I was fearful that it was going to be that way the whole game. Cause it was so, like, the Eagles couldn't do anything. The pick was, to me, in my opinion, was just a really bad call, that OPI on Tyree Jackson. The holding on Dickerson was a dubious at best. And, the ineligible downfield on Kelsey that they called. Kelsey is just blocking his man. He is not in a run defense. He is blocking his man and pushing his man. And the guy grabbed him and pulled him downfield. How is that an eligible man downfield? But anyway, we could talk the bad calls all day, but it was a fact in the first half that it was stalling Eagle drives, and that was frustrating me to be able to not be able to get any points. But this Colt defense, it reminds me of when we played the Lions in the first game and they had all their team was healthy before they started to get decimated. I think they're starting to get healthy again. And this defense plays a very aggressive, like nine men on the line of scrimmage type man coverage. And it was frustrating for the Eagles. They were still moving the ball, but it was a solid, they're a solid pass defense. I'm going to say I was impressed. Like every time, even when Jalen was trying to go deep with the ball, they were covered. They were covering our receivers, Devontae and AJ pretty well. What do you think about their pass coverage? I thought it was decent.
I thought they had a solid defense overall, man. One thing that hurt us on the one where Jalen fumbled was, I think it was Sanders. Was it Sanders back there? They tried to have Sanders block that defensive end. And, man, that play was too slow developing to let that play happen on the strip sack. We gave it the field goal.
Right.
With Hurts. But nah, man, you know, the last few weeks, I thought a lot of teams played us somewhat really, really close. I thought Washington played us really close. And I thought the Colts did the same. Man, I know we missed Goddard this past weekend, that's for sure. You can just tell, man, because I think Stoll got about one catch. And you can just see the offense having to play a little different. Some of the blocking is different because Goddard can block as well, too. You know, I still thought we were just hurting ourselves. Every time I looked up, I was just like, man, here we go again. And, you know, like the drive you're talking about, you know, we come at the ball on my team's 16-yard line because we have zero return game. So we start on the 16-yard line, and then, boom, right to AJ. So we have this play together. Then all of a sudden, here come all the penalties. So I thought we played well there, man. That was still a good drive, just a lot of mental mistakes, but it's been happening to us kind of all year. So I wasn't really that surprised. It was more like a here we go again, more so like are we like regressing as a team? Those are the things that go to my mind, like, oh man, we're getting back to some old habits. You know, let's shake them. Let's shake these old habits. But I thought really after the first drive, man, the defense really, our defense really stepped up the whole way. They went from like a really scary sight to really manageable the whole way. And they just kept it close. You know, the defense didn't really give up much. You know, that you can count three of the points to the fumble by Hurts, and then they turn around. Luckily, they didn't give up a touchdown there, and they get the field goal in that spot. So, I mean, you're talking about maybe about 13 legit points.
Right.
You know, so I thought the defense, you know, that first drive made it look scary, but the rest of the way, it was pretty solid. Matt Ryan's going to make plays here and there, but keeping Jonathan Taylor in check, to me, was the biggest accomplishment of the rest of the game.
Yeah,
I think that was the difference in them having the ball and punting, which was very different from Washington, man. So I thought that was our I thought we played, you know, to our strengths there. Just couldn't really get anything going offensively, man. It was a few things here and there. You see some guys getting frustrated. Yeah, I mean, just you know, to see the Eagles down 10-3 at the half, it's just like, man, we only put up 3 points in that whole half, man. It was just kind of like, oh, man, we got to get something going.
Yeah.
It didn't really seem like we were getting whooped, but it just seemed like we couldn't get anything going consistently, and we were just making a lot of mistakes.
Well, yeah, it like you said, it was, again, it was a very, very reminiscent of the Washington game where it was that comedy of errors like we talked about last week, where it seemed like everything the Eagles would do, they take one step forward and two steps back with either a penalty. You know, like in the first two drives. And then what I thought was pretty key was toward the end of the first half was when the Eagles get the ball with about a little bit over 2 minutes left. And for some reason, they get the first down play goes for about 8 yards. Second down, they go to Miles Sanders, and he doesn't pick up anything. And then they go to Gainwell right up the middle on third down. And right into the teeth of the defense. And I just want to point out that Gainwell has done, he has 3 touchdowns on the year. That's true. But look at his numbers in the running and passing. I think he has a total of all-purpose yards, about 250 yards total for the Eagles this year. I don't want Gainwell in the lineup. And let's not say that Sanders was gassed after one carry. That carry happened before the 2-minute warning. So Sanders was perfectly fine to come back out on the field and carry the ball for that third down play. I'm not saying he would have gotten the third. I really think Hurts should have kind of taken off with that one because it was an RPO, and Hurts gave it to Gainwell when he probably should have pulled it down and ran for the first down, but that's neither here nor there. I don't want Gainwell in that position. I want Sanders out on that field on third downs. I'm sorry. And I think that the Eagles, again, they misused Sanders to set the tempo, and they came out really, really trying to run to pass the ball down the field, and it was working to Devontae and Smith, AJ Brown. I'm not going to say it wasn't, but without Goddard out there, and Calcaterra and Jackson giving us next to nothing in Stoll, our three backup tight ends did not do anything in this game. Stoll, I think, like I said, had one catch. So to give the ball back to the Colts in good field position and allow them to get a field goal right before the half was key. They go into half 10-3. And so the first thing I'm thinking of is just like every Eagle game, we got to come out on this first drive out of the second half, and we got to do something, and the strip sack happens. I just slumped in my chair. I when the strip sack occurred, I couldn't believe it because it was so deep in Eagles territory. It just it was frustrating. So I was, like you said, one of the things that was really amazing, and this is how I felt after that. I just was sitting there in my chair, just shoot me, please, because we can't even get off to a good start in the third quarter. But Sue and Linval Joseph, I can't say enough about it. The difference that they made. I love Fletcher Cox, but when they pulled Fletcher, I was watching it back today, and when they pulled Fletcher out of that middle and they put Sue and Joseph in there together, Taylor went nowhere. So I said that Taylor had 43 yards total in that first drive. Do you know how many he had the rest of the way? I'm going to show you. 36 rushing yards after the opening touchdown drive. That's all Jonathan Taylor had the rest of the way. Sue and Joseph had 7 combined tackles and combined for a sack. And there was more than that. They filled the hole. And so people that are kind of wondering about this signing and thinking that these guys are too old, I tell you what, they helped us win that game. There's no doubt in my mind that without Sue and Joseph in there, it could have been a different story running. So, yeah, and then after that, the third quarter, it was like the Eagles were just hanging around, but like you said, they just couldn't get anything going. But what made a difference was them not giving up any points, not giving up nothing but a field goal after the strip sack. They had the missed field goal. That was key. I thought that was one of the things that was funny was that the Indy fans took that missed field goal, that, and it was a 50-yarder. And it was like they took it really hard. They were like, uh-oh. You could see the air kind of go out because they were looking at this. This was going to put them up, you know, and 3 scores. You know, the Eagles weren't going to even have a chance. And they knew when that missed field goal went across, it was going to be trouble.
And they were right because that kind of woke the Eagles up because, you know, we got almost nothing going on that whole drive. And you know, it's a few things that happened. You know, first, yeah, when they only got 5 yards after the Hurts fumble, you go, oh man, this is all right here. You only get 5 yards after that.
It's insane.
You know, must be nice.
Because I think everybody had their heads down, but when that would have made it 16-10 right there on a 50-yarder. McLaughlin misses it, and then you just saw them come to life. You had Hurts with the spinorama. That 360 run where he's in the pocket and he just basically did this spinorama right in the middle of the field and took off down the sidelines. And amazing run. And then he had another run that got him into the red zone. And then when they were down there near the goal line, the funny thing about this is the play was on the other side of the field from where I was sitting. But I saw Quez lined up in the slot. And right before the snap, they were in man coverage most of the day. But I knew with Quez in the slot, when his man started backing off, because, you know, defenders will back off at the line of scrimmage to kind of shift the coverage a little bit. But he backed off almost 10 yards. And I stood up, and probably why I lost my voice at that game, was I'm yelling, Quez in the slot! Quez in the slot! Because as soon as the ball was snapped and he made that cut for the crossing route, he was gone. There was nobody around him. He was clear as day, wide open. And, of course, Jalen saw him and hit him. And I texted you. I said, I think he heard me. I think Jalen heard me yell, Quez in the slot! Because I was screaming it, man. So when they finally scored and made it 13-10, then, you know, we have a game. I felt really good at that point. I really did. And it got even better. It was like you feel the momentum shifting. And then it got even better when the Colts get the ball back and Jonathan Taylor is in that football scrum and the pile just keeps moving. And you could see, even from our seats, you could see the commotion as soon as everybody just started diving for the ball and you realized that Taylor fumbled and Edwards came out with it. Man, the Eagles fans were just like, this is it. We're good now. We're good. We were good for a little bit. It didn't last long.
Man, we know a way to hurt ourselves. So all the momentum is going right there our way. You know, Hurts comes right out, boom, 11-yard run.
Yep.
Right. So you're right. You're like, oh yeah, this is we're really about the Jalen run, 11. Jalen run for 6. And then boom, you hit AJ Brown, and you're like, yes, you know, it's first down, it's about to be more. And then he fumbles. And it's just like, man, you know, it's just that one really, 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 really took the air out of me, man. Cause I was like, oh no. Cause you look at the clock, man, you know, it's like 9:30 left, but it's just like, man, we haven't gotten anything going really all game, you know, consistently. So while we think we're going to, you know, keep scoring a lot, man, and the rest of it just worked out, man. And then they get that field goal. So how'd you feel after that field goal? How was the temperature in the stadium after they come down? 11 plays.
Yeah.
Right? 11 plays.
Yeah.
4 minutes, 5 minutes, basically. Right? Your team is down, and now these guys go down 5 minutes.
I
caught a little break there.
Yeah.
But, and then boom, now we're down 16-10. What's the environment like in Indy?
So I'm going to say this. It was, I was getting really slumped in my chair. I think all of us were, because, you know, we had the turnover and then AJ fumbles, and it's like the whole momentum shifted back to the Colts. And when Ryan hit Paris Campbell on the sidelines all the way to the five, all I could see was, all right, they're just going to pound it in with Taylor. I know that the Eagles were stuffing Taylor, and I think that affected the Colts' game plan. Had they been running the ball well as the teams that had played us before, the Houston and Washington, they would have kept pounding Taylor, and they would have got that touchdown. Instead, they had Ryan back up in the pass, and we got Hassan Reddick coming in. And if you saw it, and I saw it, we all saw it, he sacks Matt Ryan with a little bit of a face mask. Did you see the face mask?
I thought the face mask was weak, if I'm being honest. I thought the refs made a good, this is not even a bias. This is just, you know, officiating games myself. I wouldn't even have called that, because Ryan was damn near already down. Like, he didn't bring him down by the face mask. Like, Goddard.
Oh, yeah.
They brought Goddard down. It was forcible contact. Because remember, they used to have those two different rules. Let me explain. Remember, they used to have the two different rules where it was like touching the face mask or like grabbing the face mask or something. Remember, it was like two different type of penalties, whether you like just touched it or whether you grabbed it. And this would have been more along the lines of that 5-yard variety of the face mask. I didn't think that it dictated the play. Because, you know, even with, like, let me just make a comparison. Even with horse collar, you can have your hand inside of the pads, but you just can't bring them down by it. It can't be the force that brings them down. That's a different, you know, you can have your hand inside it. It's not illegal to bring them down. It's illegal to tackle them by it. Same thing with the face mask. It's like, they understand your hand is going to get up in people's face. Like, they understand that. It's almost impossible to just make it like, no, you can't even touch this area. But to grab and grasp and bring down like they did to Goddard, I mean, that's what caused the fumble for Goddard. He's getting grabbed so much that now he's getting stripped. I thought it had no influence. Matt Ryan was going down like a tree. He was damn near down. When by the time Reddick's hand really gets up, he was down.
I agree.
So I thought if it would have been called, I thought it wouldn't have had any bearing. I thought it would have been a cheap call. I thought it would have been a very, very, very cheap call to give, because Matt Ryan was damn, like I said, he was like 70% down, at least from the naked eye, full speed. Right. You never felt like that face mask had anything to do with the play if you're an official. So you damn sure don't want to just call things just to be calling it.
So I agree with you. The thing about it, the reason I bring it up is because at the game, they show it on the Jumbotron, and it looked in slow motion, especially when they stop it, it looks bad. So the entire Colts fandom is losing their minds. I was shocked, considering how ticky-tacky the refs were, that it didn't get called. I was expecting it to get called.
Yeah.
But all I did was, when it didn't get called, I stood up and yelled at the top of my lungs, "Welcome to the club. You guys now can understand how the Eagles felt last week when we didn't get a face mask called." So I was like telling everybody, shut up. You got nothing. You got nothing. So I didn't see at the time until today when I watched the game back that, the announcers didn't even feel like it was much to really talk about, because it looked bad.
It felt like it was the play face mask than a face mask on the play.
So
I did. It's hard for me to compare. I thought that Goddard face mask was egregious.
Oh, it was horrible. Yeah. No doubt. That caused a fumble. It changed the whole scope of the game. And the one that Reddick did, it changed the sack. 100%. changed the game. If the Colts score a touchdown there, the game's over. There's no comeback. But to the fact that they had to settle for the field goal to make it 16-10, that gave the what we didn't have in the Washington game was hope. Was that the Eagles could come back. And, you know, the first couple of plays that drive were sketchy. They were coming after Hurts, which was the right move. forcing him out of the pocket, made him throw away the ball. But then the second one, he just, you know, Sanders got loose down the sideline. And when you see that live and you saw the guy tackle Sanders before the ball even comes close to the area, because we can't even argue whether it was catchable or uncatchable, the guy tackled him long before the ball hits the ground. I was just like, what a dumb
difference.
Yeah, what a dumb play on their part. They, you know, granted, the Eagles need a touchdown, but you just gifted us the ball on the 24, and we're back on our own end zone with over 2 minutes to go. And I was like, wow. So it was all the hurt show.
It was a panic play.
Yeah, yeah, he was beat. He was beat. He didn't see where the ball was. He didn't know it was coming down. All he was doing was making sure Sanders wasn't going to catch it and run for the touchdown. I think the Minnesota miracle might have popped into his head with Stephon Diggs if he didn't do anything. So he just tackles Sanders, plain as day. And then the rest of it was, again, it was surreal in to see it happen and just be sitting there with bated breath. And I'll tell you from the fan perspective. So, you know, we get the ball and they run a play before the 2 minute warning, which they didn't have to. They had a 3rd and 4 and they decide to run Sanders up the middle. He gets 2 yards. I was shocked that they ran it right before the 2 minute warning, because you had all that time. And I'm like, wow, why don't you just, you know, wait, let the 2 minute warning sound and come out. I think that they were trying to catch the Indianapolis off guard. Maybe, you know, maybe get the quick play because they're going to think. So I don't fault them for running a play. I was just surprised they ran a play. So the 2 minute warning happens and I'm now in agony, because now I got to wait through the 2 minute warning for this 4th and 2 play. And I turned to my son and I said, we're either going to leave after this next play. We're going to hit the exits as soon as this next play happens, or we're going to be here for the long haul. They're going to get this first down and run out the clock and see what happens. And it hurts. You know, you could talk about sneaks all you want, but it's a difference when the guy has the nose for the first down marker. That was a designed run all the way. He saw where the coverage wasn't, where the defenders were, and he slipped through it and saved the day. And then the big one, though, you know, after they get it down there and earlier in the game, I was upset when they got the ball all the way to the goal line and had to settle for their one field goal, was when they had the ball on the 2 and they backed up to pass, and you get the shot. They're in the shotgun. I don't know if they were going to pass, but they're in the shotgun on the 2 yard line when the Eagles normally just pound that ball with the quarterback sneak or whatever. You need 2 yards and you're on 2nd down. You can just pound it from here. This is what you normally do, but they back up. Kelce again with the bad snap. I love him. I'm not going to slag on him, but he's had some bad snaps this year. And this was the worst inopportune time for a bad snap. And it forces the Eagles into a 3rd and long. They don't get it because Hurts ends up, you know, having to get, he tries to run for it, but he gets pushed out at the 5. So they had to settle for a field goal. So I'm seeing that all over again down here at the goal line on the first couple of plays of the last drive. And then this, I don't know what happened with the Colts. That's the overhead view of the 3rd and goal. Where are they? You've got one of the better running quarterbacks in the league, and for some reason, they vacated the entire middle of the field. Now, whether it was the Eagles' play design that pulled them away, I'm thinking that had to do with something. You pulled your receivers. You had Brown and Smith in the corners of the end zone. And so you can't leave that much room for Jalen Hurts. You cannot. And he boogies into the end zone, boogies with Blue, the Colts mascot, and they take the lead with the extra point, 17-16. And I am not counting it as over yet, because I knew that there was plenty of time left on the clock. They had 1:40 left on the clock, and we've watched enough football to know that easily the team can come down, especially if the other team is in prevent, which so many teams go to prevent defense in this situation. So I'm fully expecting the Eagles to give up some chunk plays, and like with the Arizona game, and hopefully hold them off to a field goal. But what the Eagles did was exactly the opposite. And I don't want to give Gannon credit. I really don't. But because I don't know what he's going to do next week. But I will say this. I just don't know what he's going to do against Aaron Rodgers. But right. What he did in this game was right most of the time. He, except for the first drive, the Eagles only gave up field goals the rest of the way. They got off the field when they needed to get off the field. And in that 1 minute and 42 seconds, 4-6, whatever it was, he had the defenders up on the ball, and he was bringing pressure. He wasn't worried about giving up the big play like he normally is. He was wanting to get to Ryan. And you could see it because in the after they got one first down, on a second down play, Ryan almost gets sacked, and he throws the ball into the dirt. And then on the third down play, Graham pushes his lineman into Matt Ryan and it makes the sack. They end up, after a false start, with a fourth and 21, fourth and 22. And it was one of the things that freaked me out about that was Ryan threw it underneath to Deion Jackson to flat route to the running back on fourth and 21. What did he think was going to happen there? That one is what blew me away, because most NFL quarterbacks, they're going to air it out on fourth down, because the worst thing that can happen is you're going to get intercepted and the game's over anyway. What you don't do is throw it underneath when the defense has all this room to make a play, and is what they did. So
unbelievable.
Yeah. After that, I think I blacked out. Because I didn't even remember seeing the Eagles kneel on the ball, because all of us Eagles fans, when we saw Deion Jackson get pushed out of bounds, we were all celebrating amongst each other in that. And those Colts fans ran; they were gone, and it was pandemonium. And so we're all just celebrating in our seats because we knew it was over. Next thing you know, the clock was zeros, and I lost my voice. And we strolled out of there. But yeah, it was an amazing game to be at. I don't think I've been to one that's been that intense. Three quarters of just despair, and then a fourth quarter of just unbelievable moments. You can't describe it, what it was. And I loved this picture of Sirianni after the game going up to the Eagles fans. I don't know what he said. He probably did a Kirk Cousins and went, "You like that? You like that?" That's the only thing I can imagine, because he was yelling he was going off. But yeah, I mean, did you do any jumping up and down?
Sirianni needs to cool it down. I was unbelievable, man. I was so excited. I was super excited. Just on that, just going back to that Jalen play, the game winning touchdown, when it was split out, I was like, man, 7 yards out. So you're like, man, we could do a lot of things here. But I think the reason it was a good play call, because Kelce kind of pulls, but it's like the defense didn't know what to do, period. And I think the reason why that play worked is because our passing game is efficient now. You can't just leave AJ Brown. You can't leave Devontae Smith out there, and Watkins already proven that he can score. So I think they had to guard. I think if this was last year, they probably stacked the middle and just say, if you can beat us on the outside with the receivers, so be it. But you're not going to run the ball down our throats like we are very good at. So I think the fact that you can just for a second take your mind off of Jalen Hurts on any play, it just shows that the Eagles are now giving you other looks than just running the football. Because if you knew Jalen was going to keep it, or you knew the Birds was going to run it, you just call the run, stop, and play, and you do it. But that play showed total confusion. Total confusion. There should be no reason Jalen should be able to go and score, run 7 yards untouched. Not Jalen Hurts. Not one of the best players on the field, period, should never be able to run 7 yards untouched. Under any circumstances, to just lay it up. You score so easy. You get the jump and glad he didn't let go of the ball. So there was no controversy there. Like, man, he like fake finger rolls.
Oh, right.
He keeps it. Yeah. So I thought that was clutch, man. showed that, you know, we came, now we've seen this year that we've come down from 14 against Jacksonville, and we were down 10 in the fourth quarter. So we've shown a lot of different things. We've shown we can have really good second quarters. We've shown we could be have really bad first quarters and still come back and win. We can show that we can, you know, we just showed a lot of different ways to win this year, man. And we just piecing together wins. I don't care how we get them. I just want them to keep coming so we can just keep learning from everything, man. You want to know what's weird? You know what my takeaway from the game, like when it was over, I was like, man, here's the scary thing. Here's the scary thing. And I don't want to be negative or like jinx. But I was thinking to myself, like, man, the Eagles have played 10 games already this year. And we haven't had that really, really, really bad offensive game. Like you know, we're like for instance, the Vikings this week, 3 points against the Cowboys, where it's just abysmal day. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Like we haven't had that dog day yet, man. We have been scoring, you know, we went 12 quarters straight with touchdowns and just all these little things that we aren't used to doing, but we haven't had that dog day yet. I just hope it doesn't. I just want to get it over. I don't want to lose. I'm not saying the Eagles lose, but just we haven't had that big, big, big bad day, even from Jalen. I'll even talk about Jalen. You know, a lot of his interceptions this year, two of them came off the receiver's hands first, you know, before they got into the other guy's hand. I'm not saying that they were perfect throws, but remember the one to Gainwell that bounces off his hands?
Yep.
Interception, the kind of fluke to AJ. Was it the best throw? Decision to throw? No, but it somehow found AJ's hand. It's still another fluke. You know, it'd be almost better off AJ just drops the ball through his hands, is my point.
I agree.
Meaning that, you know, he didn't just throw it to the other guys. He's not just throwing it to the other guys, is my point. And he only has three, you know, interceptions. And really, one of them was in damn near hurricane weather, the one that was legit. The other two was off his receiver's hands. So he's going to have that dog day. All the quarterbacks in the leagues do it. You know, Patrick Mahomes had it against Indy earlier in the year. Just a dog day afternoon where they couldn't get anything going. I think Josh had it against the Jets with those two picks late.
Yep.
Like, just like, oh, man, Josh Allen with those two really bad picks late. Just those dog games that you just go, man, I think we can beat this team. We just had a dog day. And it's just like, man, that hasn't really happened to us yet. Because everybody gets humbled at some point offensively. I don't think we've been humbled defensively with teams being able to run the ball all over us, but we haven't been completely humbled offensively, obviously, because only one team has beat us. It's easy to say, but you get what I'm saying, man.
Those
dog days, man. We haven't really had it yet. Maybe this just shows our resilience or how well Jalen is just playing or how well the offense is just playing and resilient they are.
No, I hear
but,
you.
Man, it's going to have to come.
Yeah,
it's going to have to come. I just hope it doesn't go.
Watching the game back,
I don't want to be crazy about it because, you know.
Oh, I hear you. Watching the game back, I thought that Steichen has done a really good job with most of the play calling. You know, it's not perfect, but no team ever is. They're going to make bad decisions. But overall, the play design, you know, they were talking about it, bringing in the RPR, which is the run-pass-run option, which is where Jalen keeps it, where it's like you either run it with the quarterback, you throw it, or he runs it. And so you've did that because of Jalen's athletic ability, and his decision-making has been outstanding. So Jalen combined with Steichen and what they've done on offense, every time they have the ball, they have the potential to score. The last two games, we've seen these weird things happen, and it is. We had the three penalties in a row, a holding penalty, kill a drive, and then you had the A.J. Brown fumble. But the Eagles had been resilient. And like you said, the 10-point comeback in the fourth quarter was the last time, the first time they had done it since December 19th, 2010, which was the DeSean Jackson against the Giants game, where they came back from, I think it was 20, erased a 21-point deficit in the fourth quarter, and got the punt return to D-Jax in 2010. So it's been 12 years since the Eagles have had a comeback of that magnitude in the fourth quarter to be able to come back from. I mean, they were down two touchdowns, literally. Unbelievable. So, yeah.
Little fun facts for you on that game.
Yeah.
I was at Lakenheath during that game, right? And I was in my garage, and it was me, Kimbrough, and Herb in there smoking cigars when that happened. Just a little fun. I'll never forget it, because I remember spilling beer all over my poker table. But me, Kimbrough, and Herb was sitting there. And I remember Herb like, man, RIP to Herb. I remember Herb like, man, I don't think your boy's going to pull it out. And then you just see DeSean Jackson catch this ball, and the rest is history, man.
It was,
so always remember that game. Always remember where I was at when DeSean Jackson ran back that that punt return, man. So
it was key after that to see Jalen hug Howie. Howie did his job this week, going out and getting Sue and Joseph. We got to keep these guys healthy, and we get Jordan Davis back. So right at this moment after the game, as we wind down, I want to give credit to the defense, not just Gannon, because he did. I tell you, I watched the whole game and I was studying it, and he ran those receivers up at the line of scrimmage. He did exactly the things that we've been saying. It reminded me of the Lions game last year where they came out and just dominated the line of scrimmage on defense, because after that opening drive, Taylor couldn't get anything off the ground. And then Ryan couldn't get anything downfield, so he'd have to throw these little short passes, and our corners were right there to make the stop. And they got so many key stops to get the ball back for the Eagles and give them the opportunity. TJ Edwards, 10 tackles, 2 for a loss and a fumble recovery, had an amazing day. And another kid, I watched it and couldn't believe it, because we don't have Avante Maddox in there. We knew we were going to miss him. Josiah Scott in the first half made a play on, I think it was the Colts' second drive, where they were trying that slant pass again. And, you know, in the middle that they got to Pittman the first time. And Josiah Scott balled out. He was there, and he deflected it down. And I literally, watching it back, because when they saw it live, I didn't know who made the play. But watching it back today, I'm like, that's Scott that did that. And he didn't have the most perfect game, but he had some moments. And I think it was Slay and CeeDee both called him out on Twitter to give Josiah Scott props for filling in for Avante Maddox. So you think about this. We get Avante and Jordan Davis back, but we've got Sue and Joseph to plug that middle until then. The Eagles are if they keep playing this style of defense, like Gannon, if Gannon can just understand that what he did against Indy works, and to keep this going forward, the defense is going to be fine. Offensively, there's one glaring hole that we've got to weather, and that's Goddard. It was, like you said earlier, it was obvious that he is not being there hurt us. And I'll tell you where I noticed it was when they were trying to run screens against, because this defense of Indy reminded me, like I said earlier, of the Detroit defense. And what happened in that Detroit game, similar to what happened in the Indy game, Hurts had to take off running. He had to do these option keepers because they were running such tight man. The Lions were running such tight man coverage. The Indy was doing the same thing, putting everybody up on the line of scrimmage. You couldn't read what coverage was coming. You couldn't read if it was zone or man, and it was creating a lot of confusion. So Hurts just put the ball in his hands, just like he did with the Lions. But when they ran screens, and they did a couple to Boston Scott, they went. You know, he went for like 5 yards, and he had a couple of decent plays with it. But the problem was with Goddard, that big body on those screens just mows people down once Goddard gets a full head of steam on a screen. We've seen it. He'll catch the ball 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage on a screen pass, and he just starts bowling people over for 10, 15 yards. Boston Scott can't do that. So it is something that we have to maybe fill the hole. One option, and I'm going to bring it up now, even though he's not a tight end, is intriguing to me. I don't know necessarily how I feel about it yet, but I wanted to ask you what you thought. It was announced today that Melvin Gordon was the third, was waived by the Denver Broncos. Cut. He's on the waiver wire as we speak. I don't know if anybody below us is going to sign him. It's just a matter he has to clear waivers before the Eagles can even get a opportunity. You know, that's the issue with Gordon is his fumbles. And I think this is the issue that the Broncos just had enough of, and a lot of teams have enough of with Gordon. But the Eagles, they preach ball security. Now, granted, the last two games, we haven't had a lot of that. But they really have, up until Washington and Indy, they've really done really well with ball security and training it. If you watch the videos of the Eagles practice facility, there's posters everywhere on ball security. They it's something they really focus on. So the Eagles, do you think the Eagles, number one, should bring Gordon in on a flyer like they've done with Sue and Joseph, so that he can do, the guy can catch out of the backfield. He can bowl people over. But the problem, the downside is the fumbles. Do you think that he's worth bringing in?
Yeah, man. So it's funny that you said that. I still had the reply. I was looking at it earlier, and I was going to text you that I had it loaded because I have him on my fantasy football roster. I have Melvin Gordon. I think he can help out in a lot of ways, man. He may be that key piece because if it's just about fumbling, I think that's a fixable issue. He may be just uninterested out there in Denver, and all these things are kind of carrying over. But, man, he has had some epic fumbles inside that 5-yard line this year, man. I mean, it's some epic, epic, epic fumbles. Should we get him? Hell yeah. Hell yeah, because I'd rather see him and Sanders and not even have to see Gainwell or Scott. Like, they become irrelevant at that point. Because in this case, it's like, why are you keeping these guys on the roster? Sympathy thing, what they do? Like, what does Gainwell really, really do for the Eagles? He'll get you an occasional third down run here. So he's really not, he's really just a backup piece. He can be on the practice squad just as well. Boston Scott, if he's not able to be an effective returner for us in the punt returns and the kick returns, then he can be a backup piece too, you know, and just have Sanders and Gordon back there, man. I mean, what? And then we can finally get that pass catching back that we need. Gordon got cut and he still had 12 points on the fantasy roster. He still had 12 points, still had 4 catches, bailed Russ out of a really bad throw and still got cut because of the fumble. So answer your question, man. Hell yeah. I think we should get Melvin Gordon. He can get on the squad that he thinks can really go far. And we may get a brand new Melvin Gordon. The only difference in Melvin Gordon is he didn't re-sign that contract when he was in San Diego when they offered it to him. He said, nah, I'm going to test the free agent market. And they said, we'll just go with Austin Eckler. And that's really, it's not like he's been like a bum or anything. He's just been stuck in Denver and they haven't really done anything. And Javonte Williams has come in and been really, really, really good. He just looked disinterested in Denver all the time. He just doesn't look interested. So maybe we can get him. Maybe we can get a spark out of him, man. So, yeah, I'm all down for it.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's everything that you said I would have said. I think that it's worth a shot. We missed out on getting Kareem Hunt, and I'm not saying Gordon is the equivalent of Kareem Hunt by any stretch. However, it reminds me of bringing in, we brought in Jay Ajayi. It's another piece that it isn't going to hurt at this point. You don't know. Like I said, Darren Sproles offered his service up to return punts for us, and I would take that too over Britton Covey since he didn't do anything. Last thing I want to talk about before we leave is I want to say we went to an Indy game, 2015, I believe it was, a Monday night game in Indy, and I remember it not so much for the game but for the treatment that we received by the Indianapolis fans. As soon as we sat down, the Indy fans were welcoming. Welcome to our city, welcome to our arena, which we're just not used to as NFL fans, especially as when you've got different rivals that we have. We don't go anywhere and get a good reception. But we had a great time, and I've talked about it ever since. After the game, we won that game, and they took pictures with us. They were extremely friendly. We went out on the town that night, and everywhere we went with our Eagle gear, we were welcomed into the bars. We had, you know, a couple drinks with some people at the Cigar and Scotch bar. It was great. It was unbelievable. And I told my son that the Indy fans were one of a kind as far as NFL fans. And I want to reiterate that because at the game, it was the same experience all over again. We got there and there was some Colts fans in our section. They were very nice. They were joking around with us because there was so many Eagles fans around. There was one guy though that was that guy. He was clearly drunk, stood up. After the Eagles went down 7-0, he stood up and said, "How does it feel to lose to the Commanders?" He may have said Redskins, but he said, "How does it feel to lose to Washington and the Colts in back-to-back weeks?" And it was only still the first quarter. And he wouldn't shut up the whole game. So finally around the third quarter, some Colts fans actually stood up and did this. They were like, "Dude, that's it. Stop." And they apologized for him to us. And I just was blown away. And then after the game was over, you know, they just watched a you know, they had a 16-3 lead or in the game. or 16-10, and then, you know, they had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. They watched it evaporate, watched the Eagles win, and they were coming up to us and saying, good game, not just holding their heads down. They realize it's just a game, and I wanted to mention it on the podcast because it's important to keep that in perspective. We love our team, you know, we get really passionate as Eagles fans. We really do. But we have to remember it's just a game. And I don't know who this guy's name is, but I wanted to show this this here on the screen here. This guy came up to me after the game was over. It just like he's got a sad face on. It is all for show because he was smiling. And he came up and took a photo with me because he came up after we did the Eagles song, after we did the Fly Eagles Fly. He came up and shook our hands and was like, man, what a game. Uh-huh. What a game. We're so glad you guys could come out and blah, blah, blah. I'm just not used to that. It's just it's clearly representative of how classy their fans are. So to all the Indianapolis Colts fans, it's, you know, somebody has to lose those games. But, man, we wish you the best of luck the rest of the way. You've been through some adversity, losing Andrew Luck. You know, having Philip Rivers come in, one guy on the way out, he said to me, because we started walking down, and what was funny was the same guy that was talking a lot of trash, as we're walking to the car, he's standing right behind me, and he's laughing, and I looked, and I wanted to, like, say something rude, but I thought better of myself, and I looked at him, and I said, how you feeling? And he just laughed and went, he goes, man, you guys did it. You guys did it. I can't say anything. He goes, I was talking smack the whole game and having a good time. He goes, I didn't mean any of that. And he started going on. He goes, but I will say this. We don't want any more of your cast-offs. He said, you can keep your Frank Reich. You can keep your Carson Wentz. Don't send any more of your Don't send.
Oh, man.
And then I said, well, what about McLeod? I said, what about McLeod? He said, oh, we could keep him. So I actually talked to him for a few minutes, even though he was just jaw-jacking the whole game. And we ended up talking for a few minutes, and he said, one thing we can agree on, he said, F the Cowboys and F the Patriots. And I said, yeah, we can agree on that. We parted ways. You know, even the guy that was the rudest guy in the stadium turned out to be a nice guy as well. So got to love that, keeping in perspective that it's just a game. And it is. It is, and we can't get so worked up about it. No matter what happens with the Eagles going forward, they're 9-1 right now. It was a heck of a comeback. There's still a lot to do. We are coming into another primetime game this Sunday night. We're going to be playing the Green Bay Packers at home. And I bring this picture up because the Eagles will be debuting their all-black uniform for this game. Usually that's a good sign. When we do the black jerseys, man, that team just rises up. Now we got Green Bay coming off a loss to Tennessee. They're going to be looking to get back in the win column. It's not going to be easy. Right now the Eagles are a touchdown favorite at home. Sunday night football. Yeah, bring it on. Now Tubby and I will preview this on Wednesday. We will talk about that here on the Where Eagles Dare podcast, but it's just not over. There's a long way to go in this season, and there's a lot more ups and downs that we're going to have to take as Eagles fans. But let's remember that it's just a game, and whoever wins this championship this year deserves the respect, that we just got to dial it back down a bit. And I think that's what this game taught me, was that, man, it was a lot of fun, but in the end of the day, it is a football game. It is a football game. Now, we love our team, but it is a football game. So, yeah. So, with that being said, we want to thank everybody who joined us tonight on YouTube, Facebook Live, and Twitch. You come back each and every week. And if you subscribe to our channel, you'll know when we go live so you can tune in and enjoy what we have to say. We also do a fantasy football podcast each and every week, so you want to be around for that. We should be doing that again Thursday or Friday this week. We'll announce it here soon once we get our schedule nailed down. So we also want to say to our regular podcast listeners, our podcast audience is growing. Thank you so much for subscribing to us on Apple Podcasts, Podcaster, Castro, Spotify, Amazon Music. The platforms we're on are growing, and we want to thank you for that. If you have anything you want to say to me or Tubby, you can email us at our email address at lee.byrd, that's B-Y-R-D, eaglesdare@gmail.com. Well, it did happen. I wasn't dreaming. The Eagles did come from behind and win a key game to go to 9-1 and a two-game lead in the division with the Giants losing to the Lions. So, but there's a lot of football left to be played. So with that all being said, I'm going to turn it over to Tubby for his final words of the week.
Thanks for everybody for stopping by the Where Goes Derek podcast. And Birds go to 9-1. Green Bay up next. With that said, as always, fly, Eagles, fly.
And go Birds. We'll talk to you again on Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.